Hallelujah. Well, let's continue, if we would please, the everlasting series. The everlasting series. Well, thank you, honey. She's the only one that said it. And why don't I give you all a chance to say how much you love the series? Oh, well, you love the word. I know at least you love the word. Reverend Deanne is traveling, preaching in the States, and she called me yesterday, and she said, I said, so how you doing? How's everything going? How's the road going? You know, all the sermons you're preaching, and she's doing great, and she raising money for Dominica and different things she's doing, and her husband's here watching over the brood and the little ones, amen. And but she said, well, I'm driving my sister crazy. And I said, well, I expected that. I mean, I didn't think much less than that you would drive somebody crazy. And she said, I says, why? What are you doing this time? She says, I'm just playing your Led by the Spirit sermon over and over and over and over, and I'm just playing all the parts and then playing them over again. And I said, are you doing that on purpose to drive her crazy? She goes, no, I just need to get it down in my spirit because I can't make mistakes. And I thought, that's a very good statement. That's why we're teaching this, because we can't make mistakes. And I'm telling you, there have a lot of us, we're striving for the perfect will. We're not always in the perfect will. I'll share more once Brother David Ellis blows in, blows up, and blows out. But on the 28th, I will share a little bit more with you to continue the message that I preached this last Sunday. And pretty much everything is on the chopping block. Isn't that wonderful? Everything, every assignment, every person, everything is on the chopping block. It is, because the Lord said, you need to look at everything you're doing, because not everything I authored you to do. And until you go through every single thing and every department and every staff member and every connection and everything we're investing, you know, not investing, but we're spending money on, and all the things that we're, how we're handling things, yeah, processes, procedures, until we go through it with a fine tooth comb, and believe me, it's a lot. Pray over every single issue and every single subject to make sure that we're doing what Dad Hagen did at the beginning of every year. He laid everything before the Lord, and he didn't leave. I mean, he'd left. He had to go sleep, because it takes days to do that. But he didn't stop that until the Lord said, lessen that, change that, get rid of that, tweak that. And that's how he stayed in the perfect will of God. And that's how his health stayed right. And that's how his finances stayed right. Because things don't work right if you get out of that flow. And so whatever it takes for you to find, and some of you need to really do this. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yes. Don't just say amen and then not do it. Yes. Some of you more than others need to really do this, because you need to make sure that what you're doing in your relationships, with your work, with your finances, you need to make sure that things are where they should be. Because God's trying to accelerate, and we don't want weights. We don't want the anchor outside the boat wondering, how come this thing ain't working right? And that's really what happens. And so this series is an aid to us. It's an aid to me as well, because we're learning these different principles. So put up that first quote again. I know I shared some of this, but it's been 3 weeks. You guys have short memories, so we'll just have to repeat some of this. It's awfully dangerous for a New Testament Spirit-filled Christian to put out fleeces. That's not a sweater. You know what a fleece is, right? The most dangerous thing in the world to do. For the simple reason that you see, this fleece business is in the realm where Satan is God. He is the God of this world. Do you understand? Put the next one up. After I put out a fleece, it backfired on me. The only time I ever got fleeced is when I put out a fleece. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. And then this last quote. The only time in my life that I ever missed God relative to a church or preaching or as an evangelist is when I put out a fleece. The rest of the time, I just prayed and waited on God until I got an inward witness, until I knew on the inside of me what to do. And I followed that, and I never missed it anymore then, never made a mistake. You say, is it possible to never make a mistake? Well, occasionally we miss it. He even said into his 70s and early 80s, I can still miss it occasionally, right? But the point is, we don't have to live a life of mistakes. What does that mean? We don't have to live a life of regrets. Amen. What does that mean? Don't listen to those. What's that? Country music. Don't listen to it. Amen. Because everything in country music is about regrets and about the dog being run over and the wife left me and my best friend's boots are under my bed. You know, I'm just telling you. Listen, I like a little bit of everything. I like some of that country music. It's nice. Garth Brooks, it's nice. But I'm saying a lot of it is all about regrets. If you actually listen to the lyrics, it's full of doubt and unbelief. You get depressed if you meditate on that. I don't want to live a life of regrets. I want to live, which means I can't live a life of mistakes. What did he say here? Well, I just shared that with you. We all need to reassess what we're doing in all the areas of our life. You got to pray and wait on God. That's a key word, waited on God, not just pray. Waiting is different to praying. You can pray, but then you have to wait. But I don't want to wait. That's the whole point. But my mind is spinning. I know, quieten it. But I've got things to do. Cancel them. But what am I doing here? You're being quiet. But what's he doing? Whatever he wants to do, he's God. He's probably dealing with something else right now. Just wait. Learning to be still and wait on him is a lost art in the church world. The old timers had it. The old timers understood it. You know why? Because they didn't have social media. They didn't have busy, busy schedules. They didn't have all these things pulling their attention. And so when you don't have that much on your plate, so to speak, there's a lot more time to wait. But God understands that we're so in a different world here. But that doesn't mean that the scripture now, he has to tear some pages out where it says, wait thou upon the Lord until and you will renew your strength. Pastor Nancy was preaching about it on her out of 11 services. We only got two from her, but that's okay. Yeah, we'll forgive her this time. Wonderful ministers, wonderful impartation. I just miss her. And so on her first preaching, which I think was Tuesday night, she talked about waiting on the Lord in Isaiah chapter 41 or 40, whatever it is, 40 verse 31, I think, and about the lost art of waiting. And listen, my brother and sister, there is no, God don't care whether you're living in 1500s or 2024. He don't care. His way is the same. It doesn't matter whether you're doing laundry by hand and grinding meal like you people did 200 years ago, or if you got your highfalutin air fryer, which I've just learned how to use. And it is astonishing. It is. How could it heat chicken to 400 degrees instantaneously and in 6 minutes I am eating? Air fryers are from heaven. God authored air fryers. If you don't have one, buy one. If you can't buy one, steal one. Just do whatever you need to do. No, don't steal. Don't steal one. Believe God for the money for one. God don't care whether we've got portable ovens called air fryers with all our high fancy tech or pizza ovens, or whether we're grinding corn 200 years ago. His ways are the same. He did not change just because our society changed. Do you understand? He's not fast-paced, even though we're fast-paced. He expects us to go on his agenda, not him going speeding up for our McWrap and McFlurry and McThis and McDrive-through agenda. He don't do that. I know. I'm trying to be humorous a little bit to help the medicine go down with a little bit of honey instead of vinegar. But this is the real doggone truth. Does that remind you of anybody? Yeah. Let me tell you the doggone truth about it. Randy Greer's coming in May. Don't worry. You'll hear it again. Some of you have forgotten. Okay, but why was it permitted in the Old Testament? Why did God allow Gideon to do the fleece? Very simple. You know why. Tell me why. Because he did not have the Holy Ghost on the inside. Where was the Holy Ghost? Do you know? Oh, Jesus. We need to have more Bible school classes in this church. Okay, who did God anoint in the Old Testament? If you were a regular person, did you get anointed? If you were a regular person, did you get anointed? You would never know what the anointing felt like. That's why the least in the kingdom of God in the New Testament, according to the book of Matthew, is greater than the greatest prophet that ever lived in the Old Testament, which was John the Baptist. Because the least of us, the person that just gets saved and don't know nothing, don't even have a Bible, has the Holy Ghost on the inside, can sense the presence of God on the inside, can sense the unction on the inside, whereas all the people of the Old Testament didn't have that inner. But even the greatest of the old only had the on. So the Spirit came upon people for service. Right? And if God had to get it over to them, he had to speak audibly. He had to send angels, dreams. That's why he gave Joseph a dream, because God used these methods in the Old Testament. And then, of course, he had Uma Thurman all the way through history. Uma Thurman has been alive. The Umim and the Thurmim, or whatever it's called. But my wife, now listen, this is not a joke. It is actually a holy thing. I don't mean to. But this was two stones, and the prophet sometimes would hold them, and the light would shine through them in a special way. God, supernaturally, God did that, and it would show him what to do. but also the high priest. My wife told me this afterward. I didn't know. But the high priest would wear, you know, the breastplate with the 12 stones. Yes. That two of those stones were those two stones, whatever they're called. I don't want to say because I'll laugh. But two of those stones, what?
Umim and Thummim.
Umim and Thummim. Yes. Two of them. And people were sending me emails with all different pictures of Uma Thurman, all doing all different things. So it just made me laugh so hard. Anyway, but Umim and Thummim, they were two stones in that breastplate. But the interesting thing is they were placed right over the heart, which represented, they represented the Holy Ghost indwelling that was going to come. It was a prophetic thing for the future. And out of those stones, those two stones that would be by the heart, in the heart, by the heart cavity, in that breastplate, light would shine through. Now you see, because it says now, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You see, there's light on the inside of us. But back in the Old Testament, they didn't have, do you understand that they're talking about that? Proverbs is talking about that, but that wasn't a reality for Solomon. Yeah. Yeah. Solomon's spirit was not alive unto God. He did not have light in his spirit. So that really is a prophecy that a greater gift than any human being has ever experienced is coming. Yeah. When this Messiah comes, when this wonderful counselor, Prince, a mighty God, Prince of Peace, when he shows up, and he does whatever they didn't, couldn't understand what he was going to do because it was hidden in a mystery. Yeah. But then when he did what he did and then he breathed on those disciples and the Holy Ghost came into them, that when all these verses now sparkled like a Christmas tree, they all made sense. All those prophecies came to pass and the light of God came into our spirits. And the smallest of us is greater than the greatest of them because all they had was it on them. Amen. For service. Yeah. But they didn't have it in them. And we've got it in us, which is why there's never a reason for a fleece. Because that's only for if you don't have the Holy Ghost. And when you put out a fleece, you insult the Holy Ghost. Because he is in you, for he wants to do his job. And when you put out things, nonsense, things like that, it's not right. Because you are ignoring the help on the inside of you. So one of the ways he spoke to them was the, you know, by this thing, this these, you know, stones. And of course, you know, he spoke audibly. Notice he don't talk audibly that often. In all 32 years, it's only happened to me really loud one time. And that's when I was really depressed. Not that that's when he's going to talk to you. I'm just saying for me, I was going through a very, very hard season. And I was crying and I was weeping and I fell across my bed, our bed. We lived in this little small one-bedroom apartment and before the boys were born. And I fell across that bed and I was weeping because something was going on in the ministry that was really hard and I didn't know how to handle it. And I didn't know Pastor Nancy. I didn't really know her at that point because we only got to know her when we started the church. And this is long before we started the church. I didn't have anybody to go to. And I fell across the bed, you know, just really in a bad place. And I heard an audible voice. I mean, it filled the whole room. It was not in my mind. It was not in my head. It came, it filled the whole room. And I heard a voice and he said, "Have faith." And he was angry with me. Then I cried even more because he's angry with me. But he wanted me to stop whining and crying and stand up on my faith feet and start to believe God. That's the only time I've ever heard one. Why do we not hear audible voices very often? Because we've got the inner voice, the inner witness. He don't need to talk to us in all this fancy way. Now, let me just tell you all something because I just heard the Holy Ghost say, make a correction. So I'm going to make a correction in your life. You all put way too much focus on dreams.
Oh yes.
Dreams are of the old covenant primarily.
Yes.
I'm not saying you can't have them. I'm not saying they're not for the new covenant, but they are not the primary way. Why did God give dreams? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the inward witness. So one way he got things over to them were in dreams. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't do dreams in the New Testament. Of course he does. And New Testament dreams are scriptural. But what I'm saying is you don't put the emphasis on dreams like they did in the old covenant. And a lot of Christians today, they're looking for dreams. They're wanting dreams. They're asking God for dreams. They're talking about dreams as though it's the main event. It is a part of the new covenant way that he leads us, but it is not the primary event. Yeah. Yeah. And if you put the focus on that, what's going to happen is you're going to get dull on this thing, yeah. And you're going to have a real appetite for this thing. Yeah. And let me tell you, dreams are in the realm where Satan lives.
Yes.
They're in the soul realm. And you can have a dream from the devil just as easily as you can have a dream from God. And some dreams I've had, I'm not even sure where they're from. Because they're weird.
Yeah.
They don't make no sense. And then you wake up thinking, is that God? Is that the devil? And then you're trying to, is that symbolic or something? I mean, why did Greg have horns in the dream? I don't know what that means. I'm just not sure. Just kidding. But let me tell you, if it's of the Holy Ghost, when you wake up, the presence of God is usually present. And there's almost an instantaneous knowing of what it means and a bearing of witness. Even with dreams, it's got to settle in your spirit. Sometimes I wake up and I know what the dream means, but I look down to my spirit and I don't feel anything. I throw that in the garbage. If it's really from God, I'm going to be going to sleep in about 12 hours. He can give me another one. Don't be too precious on the dreams. Be quicker to throw them out than to listen to them. Because if it's really God, he can give you another one. If it doesn't bear witness down in here, if there's not a sense of peace, if there's not a sense of knowing down in here, even if you know what it means, throw it in the garbage. You've got to weigh everything through your inner witness. And I'm telling you, Christians today act almost like Christians of the Old Testament. Everything is more important to them. All these dramatic, you know, spectacular things. They want prophecies and they want dreams and they want visions and they want the chicken to talk to them and they want this and they want that. I'm serious. And they want somebody to call them out and say, yay. And again, I say, yay. That doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it does. But did you notice that's not the primary way? The primary way is seeking God, waiting on God. See, nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants a prophecy. But the primary way is waiting on God, yourself. And let him show you through the word and let him show you in the inner witness what you are to do and what the decision that you are to make.
Amen.
Are you listening? You know, if you don't even know that you're doing something wrong or something not wrong like sin, but it could be sin, but it could just be you're off in a way. You're just off in a way. And you don't even know. Half the time, we don't even know. Yeah. I'm going to share with you some stuff on the 28th, if you'll show up. I'm going to share with you some stuff that is private, but I'm going to share it because it's a good teaching lesson for all of you about stuff that I didn't know. And I was very innocent and pure in heart, but I didn't know it wasn't the will of God. And then God just dealt with me while I was at Holy Ghost meetings sternly in public, not in a service, but in public, in front of a whole bunch of ministers, all beat Craig up in the woodshed, behind the woodshed, all took a turn whipping me. But I'll take the whipping because I don't care about what people think about me. I need to be right and I can't afford to miss it. I don't care. I don't care what I look like. I don't care. I really don't care. I really don't care. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they talk about privately about me. Talk away. I really don't give a flying fart in space what you think about me or anything like that. And neither do I care about anything, any of you. What do you think of me? I really could give a rip. Amen. I love you, but I don't care if you don't like this, you don't judge this. I don't. This has nothing to do with me. What I am after is I need to know him. And I need to be exactly in the place that he's asked me to be. And I'm telling you, a lot of times, because we pray, but we don't wait. We sense, oh, this seems good. And we go. But the seeming good could be the permissive, not the perfect. And if we'd have waited, we would have gotten to the perfect. Because we're in a rush. Because we're under pressure, because we're watching the clock or the calendar, because we've got financial constraints, because we've got people yapping in our ear saying, do this. Do you understand? So it's not about all this other stuff. God can use it, but that's not what I'm looking for. And you shouldn't look for it either. Make a big deal about what he makes a big deal about. That is waiting on him and getting it in here. When you get it in here. And sometimes you're going in a path you don't even know you're going. But I always say this, and it always blesses me because I heard the Holy Ghost say it once. He said, tongues is the great equalizer. Yes. Yes. Meaning, even if I'm on the wrong path, and I don't even know I'm on the wrong path, if I just keep a prayer life hot, if I just keep praying, eventually, even if I'm on the service road instead of the highway, and I'm on the gravel path instead of the paved path, and I'm in the permissive instead of the perfect, but I don't even know it, if I'll just keep a prayer life, eventually something will start to go in my spirit, and I'll go, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I think I'm in the right road, but then I realize, oh, I'm on a gravel road. I'm supposed to be on the highway. And then he'll show me over time where I missed it, and how I'm going to get back on the highway. But let me tell you, when you miss it, have you ever gone on the service roads? You can't just get on the highway because you decide you want to. There, you have to wait till there is an on-ramp. And I'm telling you, it's the same thing in the spirit. Just because you missed it and now you know you've missed it and now you want to get it right. Sometimes you have to go through things. Sometimes there are seasons and timings. And sometimes you're going to have to just suck it up, and it may not be exactly all that you hoped it would be, but you got yourself there. And now you've got to, there could be some loss of finances. There could be some waste of time. There could be some embarrassment. There is a price to pay to be on the service road. You can't just hop the fence. You have to wait until God opens that entrance and you get on the on-ramp. And a lot of people, they get frustrated because they can't get on the on-ramp, but and then they blame God or they blame the pastor. You got yourself in it. And I got myself in it. There's nobody to blame but me. I don't blame Pastor Nancy.
That's right.
Amen. That's true.
And I said to her, I won't tell you what, but because I'll tell it on the 28th. But I said to her, I said, she told me, oh, I already knew you were missing it in that for a long time. And I said, oh, sweet Jesus. I said, why didn't you tell me? You're my mom. You're supposed to tell me these things. And she said, now listen to this, because I preach this. I don't know. I didn't know I wasn't living it. You can be so convinced. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. Yeah. Because I live what I preach, with her especially. But in this case, I didn't. She said, oh, Pastor. She said, when you told me about it, you were so sure. What? You were very sure. You didn't ask me. You told me. You updated me. And I don't have a right before God to tell you when you don't ask. And I thought to myself, she's wrong. She has to be wrong. So I'm spinning back in my little wheel there about when I talked to her. And I remember that meeting. And I thought, oh, my God, I didn't ask. I was so excited. I said, Pastor, this is what God has been dealing with me about. And this is what we're doing. And she's like, oh, that's nice. And I said, oh, it's exciting. She goes, very exciting. Great. Why didn't I stop and say, you might know something more than me because you're over me in the Lord. And sometimes the Lord may show you stuff and he's trying to show me, but I'm not getting it because I'm not where you are. What do you think? Is this okay? You see, but all of you, you've got pride issues. You won't come and ask the pastor, is this okay? Well, I've got the Holy Ghost and you're not my leader. He's the leader. You're an idiot. Like I was. Are you listening to me? Because I'm helping you more than you're saying amen. This is a major problem in the body of Christ. We have got a doctrine that we've got the inward witness and the unction, and the Holy Ghost wants to help us. But we have, out of pride, we have so extrapolated that doctrine to now we don't need anybody's help. We don't need anybody's advice because we've got the Holy Ghost. We've got an unction. I need no man to teach me because I've got an unction. That's not what that verse is talking about. We do have an unction and we do have the Holy Ghost, but let me tell you something. You are not as hot as you think you are. You don't know as much as you think you do, and you have not walked the path that the spiritual mother or father above you has walked. And when you're making a major decision that could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, it would behoove you, even if you know, to ask, what do you think? Because is it possible that you just might be able to miss it in all of your excitement and joy and all your soul realm buzzing like a beehive? Is it possible that you might miss it?
Come on, Pastor.
Well, if I could miss it, I guarantee you that you can. Yes. And we've got this false attitude that I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need your help.
Yeah.
You don't need Joe Blow's help. You don't need the postman's help. You don't need anybody in this congregation's help. You don't need, that's true, but you do need the one person assigned and anointed as a divine supply and safety net of protection for you. And before you make major decisions, you should ask. And you shouldn't ask having already made the decision thinking, well, I've made it, so I don't really care what they say. Then don't ask. But I don't do that. I realize I can miss it. She probably will not miss it. Now, I know what you're thinking. She's controlling you. But that's what some people say. So if I had gone to her and said, now, what do you think? And she said, well, since you ask, this is what I think. And it's not what I want to do. And it's not what I'm excited about doing. And it's not what I feel God has told me to do. Now, you see, now I'm in a predicament, Gloria. Because I didn't do that, but I'm saying hypothetically. If she had said no, but I'm convinced it's a yes. Do you understand that that's a problem? So now what do I do? How do I break the tie? She's telling me I'm picking something up that you're not picking up. But I do have the Holy Ghost. But I do recognize her authority. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Everything is about authority. I recognize I'm under her. She is my commanding officer. So I better pay attention to what she says and not just throw it out because I'm familiar with her. Do you understand? That's why she don't let very many people close. Because when you see her in her relaxed clothes and, you know, sometimes she comes, you know, we're there having breakfast with her and she comes out and she doesn't have makeup. And I'm so used to the polished persona and she's beautiful whether she got makeup or not. But she just doesn't look quite the same as under the lights. And then you see her interact in a social environment, in a playful environment, and she's not the polished prophet. Right. It's very easy to get familiar. Yeah. That's why you can't be around people unless you've learned not to be familiar. Yeah. That's why she only puts people in that inner circle that will not, that can look past that and not stumble over that. Yes. Do you understand? Yeah. But sometimes we get very familiar. That's why the pastor can't be your friend, because you'll get familiar. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is, when they give you that counsel and you don't agree with it, I'm talking to somebody by the Holy Ghost right now, even though this is an example and it's not in my notes. I just heard the Holy Ghost say, you're talking to somebody who needs to hear you. I don't know if they're on the live stream or in the building, but you better listen, because it can save your life. When you feel you know, but you are a person under authority and you go to the person over you and you present it and they're honest with you. Now that takes faith for them to be honest with you, because they don't want you to leave them. They don't want you to get angry with them, but they're obligated to tell you the truth if you ask. Yes, and if you don't, because you're sure, they will keep their mouth shut. Yes. But when they say, I'm sorry, but I don't get it. Something's off. What is my response? Because I can't violate what I feel God's telling me to do. Because ultimately, I have to answer to God, not Pastor Nancy. But Pastor Nancy, who's the one over me, is telling me, hypothetically, this didn't happen. But hypothetically, she'd be saying, no, I don't see that. What do I do? Then I do what Dad Hagen said. I go, I stop everything I'm doing in that project. Everything. Everything goes on pause. And if the banks don't like it, tough luck. We'll cancel the loan. We'll cancel the sale. We'll cancel the purchase. Everything stops. And I go for an extended period of time fasting and praying and waiting on God. Waiting is the key word, not fasting.
Right.
Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. And he may give me a dramatic, spectacular way, but he probably won't. It will probably be something that comes on the inside. But I guarantee you, over time, it might take a month, it might take 6 months. Here's the key. Are you willing to wait?
Yeah. Good, Pastor.
Because most of us aren't.
Yeah.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
We gotta go.
True.
The sale's gonna end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
true. Are we willing to wait? Are you listening to me? I'm helping you. Then over time, see, I've wiped my slate clean. I no longer have any opinion about this. I know her opinion, but I don't have any opinion. I'm clean before God. I'm white. He can write on me whatever he wants. And I wait until a knowing on the inside of me starts to build and take shape and form. And that knowing, it's like cement. I can't explain it to you. There's just a knowing that you know. You don't even know why you know. You can't explain to people why you know. You just know. Just like you know you live in Canada. You know your name is Craig. You just know it.
Yeah.
Now, whatever that is what I go with.
Yeah.
But let me, because so, that supersedes Pastor Nancy. In your life, that supersedes me. Because that's the Holy Ghost. He's the boss. But can I tell you something? And this is not a standardized rule. I'm just telling you in my experience. In every single time in 16 years that I have gone to her, I didn't go to her this time and I paid a price for it. But every time I have gone to her and there's been that no, and I've said yes, and I've waited, every single time the inner witness sided with her. There's not one case where God sided with me. Oh. Well, that should teach you something. Because I do know how to hear from God, but I don't always know how to hear from God.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And I'm not infallible. And she knows more, which is why every single time she's been right and I've been wrong. And she's not trying to be right. It's not a competition. She just is because she knows God better than I do. That's as simple. That's all it is. She knows God better than I do. I don't have a right to be a pastor unless I know God better than you. So when you come to me, you need to come to me with humility like I do with her. Not because I'm older than you, but because I'm not in most cases. You know, I am sometimes, but I'm not. Age doesn't matter. It's about if I'm submitted to somebody, I have to believe they know God better than me. And if I don't, maybe I shouldn't be a part of this church.
Amen.
Because if you think you know more, you're not going to be humble.
Yeah.
You're not going to receive because you really think that you're over me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And I said to Doctor when we started the church, I said, I'm young and there's going to be most of the people are going to be older than me and maybe even have walked with God longer than me. And could it even be that they might even possibly know more than me? How do I handle that? And he said, yes, some of them have walked with God longer than you. Some of them have had more physical life experience than you. And some of them have been around this message longer than you. He said, but there's something that you have that none of them will ever have. And I'm thinking, what's that? I was so green. And he said, you've got an anointing and you've got an office and God didn't give them that office. And he said, it's not about how much you know, Craig, about this scripture or that scripture or how many experiences you've had. And as time passes, you'll have more. He said, but it's not about, when I was young, this really mattered to me. It's not about all that stuff. It's about you have stepped into a suit. Like a superhero suit.
Yes.
Do you understand? You got a cape.
Yeah.
That suit is an office.
Yeah.
It's not as much about what you've learned. It's about what's in that office.
Yeah.
That office has more knowledge and more anointing than any human being put together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That office knows everything about everything because that office is in God.
Yes. Yeah.
So he said, just stay in that office. And then draw from the wisdom of the Holy Ghost because you're in that office. Because he'll show you things that he won't show anybody else simply because you're standing in the office.
Yeah.
And that is why you don't ever have to worry. Do they know more than you? They'll never know more than you. That's what Doctor told me.
Amen.
He said the congregation will never know more than you.
Amen.
If you submit and yield to the Holy Ghost wisdom in that office, because that office knows more than you and all of them put together. Do you understand? So you have to trust the office, not Craig Field. I am the man in the suit. But if I screw this up and decide to leave, he'll put somebody else in the suit. When Trump left, Biden came. There's always somebody in that office. But the person changes. If you're faithful, the person will remain, unlike politics, in the ministry, the person will remain in that office until the day they die. This is not a voting in system where after 4 years he puts somebody else in the office. It's not, doesn't work in the church that way. But I have to be faithful and I have to live clean. Do you understand? But that office has everything that's needed. Everything that's needed. All I need to do is submit to that office. That's why you don't have to look at me and go, well, I'm older than him. Or I've known God longer than him. Or maybe I even pray longer than him. So I may know more than him. So therefore, how can I really trust what he says? That's the wrong way to look at it.
Amen.
The way to look at it is he stands in an office that I don't.
Yeah.
So he's always going to know more than me. Not because he's so great, but because the office is so great.
Yeah.
Romans 13, Paul said, I magnify my office. He didn't say I magnify myself.
Yeah.
He didn't say I magnify. And listen, Paul, if you study it, was the most educated man of the day. He sat at the feet of all these Galileo and all these Greek philosophers. And he was a Jew after the Pharisaical law. I mean, he was like what we would consider today a double doctorate at Harvard, Oxford, Yale, and Princeton altogether. In our version, that's what he would be. He was extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah.
But notice what he said. I don't magnify the education.
Yeah.
And I don't magnify my age.
Yeah.
And he also said, I don't magnify those visions.
Yeah.
He went to heaven.
Yeah.
He said, I magnify my office.
Yeah.
Because the office is what separates people.
Good.
I don't, doesn't matter what education I have. The office knows more than all the education put together.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you have to look and say, okay, if pastor, you know, I may have some issues here. He may not know this. He may not know that. But he stands in an office and he's learning to hear that office. Then when I come to him, I can trust because of the office. I'm not magnifying the man. I'm magnifying the office. And I can trust him that he can hear from God. And I trust him enough that he won't use his personality or his bent of whether he likes me as a person or doesn't like me as a person. He won't use that against me. I have to trust the purity that he will go and wait on God if he doesn't know the answer for me, and that answer will come out of his office. And then I trust that he knows more. Do you understand? I don't know why I'm talking about this, because it has nothing to do with my notes. But I just keep feeling the Holy Ghost say, keep on going, boy. Keep on writing. So when I look to her, I am saying to myself, Lord, she stands in an office that is, she know that higher than mine. And it's not that Pastor Nancy is infallible. It's that the office is infallible. All I care about is, can she yield to that office? Can she hear the Spirit of God through that office? Because if she can, she knows more than me. So I go humbly. I don't go, well, now, in this last time, I didn't come like this, like proud, but I came like, what is so exciting? And sometimes the can be worse than the pride.
Yeah, that's so good, Pastor. That's really good.
You can be so excited and convinced and sure. And you're not proud, and you're not trying to say, don't talk into my life, because you want them to, but you're just convinced because you're excited, because you thought you heard God about buying that house, about taking that job, about dating that boy. And maybe you should just come humbly and put the excitement on pause and put the pride on pause and say, I respect you because of the office. I present this to you. What do you think? I have the Holy Ghost. You're not my Holy Ghost, but you are an office that God has put in my life, and I better respect that.
Amen.
What do you think? And I say something that doesn't line up with what you think. If that were to happen. That doesn't always happen, but if that were to happen. What do? You feel like you know God? The person over you doesn't feel the same way in terms of this action that you're going to do? What do? You go wait. You go wait. Because if you take my advice and I take Pastor Nancy's advice, and then it's something didn't work out the way I thought. Now then people go back to them and say, you see, you ruined my life. So that's why she's very reticent about giving too much counsel. Because she don't want people ruining, she don't want people attacking her. And today the people are so crazy, they try to sue her. So I'm a little reticent to do that too. But what I would do and what you should do is go wait on God and pray until the inner knowing comes. The inner knowing trumps everybody. It even trumps the office. Because the Holy Ghost is the boss. But you will probably find in the vast majority, if not all cases, that witness goes with what the office said. Because you don't stand in that. You're not, and even if you stand in an office, you're not in the same category.
Yes, sir.
There is a hierarchy with God. It's not that we're trying to be better than people, but there is a divine order. Yes. Everything in God has a divine order. We're not just all loosey-goosey, kissing trees, walking around like a bunch of hippies, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, just come over here. Seriously, that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is referred to as a military organization. There is hierarchy. There is order. There is a divine process.
Amen.
Yield to it.
Amen.
And it can make your life be different.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord, I don't even know what I'm talking about, Jenny, because I didn't mean to say that. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to tell people that the Old Testament made a big deal about all these things. Let's get back on track. But the New Testament, we make a big deal about the inward knowing. That's your big deal. But that's not exciting. Who cares? God said it's the big deal. It's the only way that the devil can influence you. Because the only area that he does not live, cannot influence, cannot penetrate, cannot have any impact whatsoever is the spirit of a man sealed by the blood of Jesus, where the Holy Ghost has set up camp. He can affect your mind. He can affect somebody else's mind. That's why all these other things can be tainted. Not that they are, but they can be. The only thing that's pure, the only thing that's guaranteed is what comes out of the sealed spirit. What is that? The inner witness is the knowings that come out of that spirit life, which is why we have to focus on it. And you need to start saying, I would challenge you to confess in English as often as you can, not religiously, not legalistically, but I tell the Lord regularly, Lord, I thank you that I'm led by the Holy Ghost. I thank you that I know the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to get all legalistic about exactly the phrasing, but the point is I confess. You know when Randy Greer was in prison and the Lord said, now I'm anointing you, your ministry is starting, and if you'll be faithful, I'm going to get you out of this place. I'm paraphrasing. And what he needed to do, the first thing is to cast out the devil. Because he's got a bunch of demon-possessed people that he needs to have a convict church. You got to get the devil out before you can have a convict church. So the first thing God needed him to do was not figure out how to do this or how to do that or how to have a board meeting. It was to cast out devils. And when God said you need to start casting out devils, that's how your ministry is going to start. Well, if you lived in a penitentiary, that's probably how your ministry would start. So watch the principle. What did God have him say? Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. What did God have him say? God said, start saying from this day forward, I cast out devils in Jesus' name. And he would go around eating, showering, sleep, whatever you. I cast out devils in Jesus' name. I cast out devils in Jesus' name. Why? God is having him speak and confess and prophesy what's about to happen. Because his words and his faith has to get involved. And the way your faith gets involved is what you say. So when he said that for some time, and then all of a sudden that person's there and God said, cast that out. And he's saying, I don't know. Well, maybe I do know how to do it because I cast out devils in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. Do you understand? So if you want something to work in your life, start to say it. Yeah. There's a principle here. There's a spiritual law at work. So if you want to be led, start to say, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. I know the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. Don't say I have dreams. Don't say, I believe I get prophecies. That's not what you confess. You say, Lord, I thank you that I am becoming skillful. You say it whatever words you want. I never usually say it the same way twice. The phrase is not what matters. What is being said is what matters. And me believing it and me saying it. Lord, I thank you that I'm led by the Holy Ghost. I thank you I'm becoming skillful with the inner witness. I thank you that I know the leadings of the Spirit of God. And I don't make mistakes because I know the Holy Ghost. But why don't you start saying it? Say it, because it's going to happen for you, but you got to say it, and you got to believe what you're saying, and then you can't just say it and then watch gun smoke all day long. You say it, and then you pray, and you wait, and you get in the word, and you go to counsel, to higher offices, and you humble yourself, and you listen. It's a combination of ingredients to make this thing work. You with me? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I praise God for it. It's working. I'm supposed to, the fleece was just a little 5-minute thing to get us into the next part, but we can't seem to get off it. Fleeces, I wrote, is for lazy Christians who don't want to take time to pray and wait on God and to seek God and get the answer in their spirits. They just want a quick fix. Remember we said a Dad Hagen was pastoring for 2 years, from 1939 to 1941. Another church asked him to come, and he put out a fleece. Only time he ever did it. Said, Lord, if the vote is 100%, I'll come, which he knows is virtually impossible to have 100% vote. But the devil authored the vote. You listening? The devil also touched pastors' hearts to support me to go to Peru. What? Oh, the devil will help you get out of the perfect will of God very willingly. And he'll talk to carnal people that don't know the Holy Ghost. Even if they do stand in an office, that don't mean that they know the Holy Ghost unless they're yielding to the Holy Ghost. He set it up perfectly for me to get into the ash heap of ministry. So don't tell me because things work out that that's God's will. It's got nothing to do with God's will. And they had the vote, and he got 100%, and he had a 15-month contract, and he said, I would study, and before he went to the church, he said, I would study and have the fire of God in me before I joined that church. When I was at the other church, he said, the fire of God was on me. You know, people don't know this about Dad Hagen. He was not a teacher. In the younger years, he was a preacher. He was a fiery preacher. People don't think of him that way, but he was a fiery preacher. He said, I never ever taught in the pastoring years. I preached hell, fire, brimstone, and glory. That's what he did. It wasn't until he stepped in the prophet's office he started to really teach. So he knows what it's like to preach. And he said, I know the fire of God that come on me to preach. And he said, I had it in the previous church, but then I've gone into this 100% vote church because I put out the fleece. So this must be God's will, because that's impossible to get 100% vote. To try to get Baptists to agree on anything is impossible, let alone 100%. Pentecostals are worse. But he said, listen, now this is interesting. He said, I would study and pray in this 15-month contract in my office, and the anointing of God would come on me in the office. And he said, the fire of God would be on me in the office. And I would start to, you know, kind of, not practice, but I'd start to like, you know, just start to preach my sermon a little bit in the mirror. And the fire of God was there. And he said, I know the fire of God. I know the anointing of God. It was there. But he said, I went out and stepped into the pulpit. And it was like pouring a bucket of cold, icy water over me. The fire of God is in the office, but the fire, there's no fire in the pulpit. He said there was no inspiration, there was no gifts, there was no anointing, to the point that his wife Aretha said to him, honey, you got to where you can give a pretty good talk. Them fighting words to a preacher. In other words, what is wrong with you? You're as dead as a doornail. You're as dry as a stump. I see the fire in the office. Why isn't it in the pulpit? You're just talking. You're not even ministering. He said, I did not preach one sermon in 15 months with the anointing. Because I was out of the perfect will of God. And I was in the permissive will of God. And the grinding. Pastor uses that word a lot. Dr. Dufresne used that word a lot. The grinding. It was hard because there's no anointing. And he did out the 15 months. And then he said, I got out there the very day the contract ended. And the first time I stepped back in the next pulpit, the fire of God was there. Why? Because when you're out of where God wants you to be, he's not going to be with you the same way. How many of us are in the permissive will of God in relationships? How many of you are in the permissive of God with your work? How many of you have started businesses that God never authored? How many of you have not started businesses that God is trying to author? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It's very important that we slow down and we wait. And the last thing you do is put out some kind of fleece. We need the perfect will on every area of our life. Because what is one of the great indicators? If you don't know what, I don't know what the perfect will is what you're doing, is there a flow, an ease inside your spirit, that velvety knowing? Because there can be a flow and ease, but inside you're grieving. Do you understand? There was a flow and ease for Peru, but inside something was wrong. But generally speaking, if the inside is velvety, if the inside is sure, what will be the result in the natural? This thing, whatever you're doing, this business, this relate, whatever it is, it's going to just start to flow like water. There's going to be an ease. There's going to be a joy. There's going to be a peace. There's going to be an anticipation. It's going to be light. That doesn't mean there won't be attacks, but in general, there'll be, even through the storm, it will be a light and an easy flow. Because inside, you're in the perfect will of God. And if it's grinding, and if it's hard, and if something is just, you're dragging, and it feels heavy, what is going on? You're out of the perfect will. You're out of it. You need to make changes and get back into it. Well, it will hurt people's feelings. Who cares? That is not your problem. What, you're going to stand before Jesus and say, I stayed out of the will, even though I know it wasn't the perfect will because I was worried about their feelings?
Come on, Pastor. Yeah.
That's so true. But so many people will stay out of the perfect will of God because they're afraid of hurting somebody. Do you think it was easy for me to make the change on the worship team? Do you think that was a light and easy thing? See, that's a trick question. It was a light and easy thing. But emotionally, it was very difficult. Very hard, very painful for me and for others. But when I got it in my spirit, even though it's hard on the soul, the spirit flows. There's a light and easy flow, even though it's emotionally difficult. You've got, see, that's how you know you're in the perfect will of God. But when the flow is a halting, grinding, dragging, then I'm telling you, you got to recheck. You've got to go back, you've got to slow down, and you've got to recheck things. Are you listening to me? We don't want this grinding flow. Not in this church. We're not going to get our new building if we don't get in the perfect will of God in every capacity of this church. But we're going to get there. Because I've set my heart to it. I'm a bulldog. I've set my heart to it. My wife has set her heart to it. And even this week, she's been seeking God and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And in the spirit, she'll see that she's dealing with this, but she doesn't know what they are, but she sees certain things. And that's the Lord says, you've done that now. Go to the next one. Okay, that's done. Now go to the next one. That's done. And then I'll come home and she'll say, what happened today? And I'll say, this problem came up, but I dealt with it. This issue has come up, but I've dealt with it. This problem, but I've dealt with it. And she just got a big smile on her face. She said, you know why you dealt with it? Because I dealt with it in the realm of the spirit for you. I saw those things. I didn't know what they were, but I saw those cords, and I saw that I had untied that, and I had chopped that, and this thing was moved, and this thing was moved. And she doesn't know what's happening in the natural is manifesting what she was dealing with in the spiritual, because we're trying to make sure we're in the perfect will in every area. And sometimes things have to be dealt with, do you understand? In order to get into that perfect will. Hope you're okay, because I'm certainly not trying to hurt anybody. Let's just start this with 9 minutes to go, but the whole sermon was supposed to be this. But let's just start it, because there was some good stuff that came out. There was some good stuff that came out, even though I know it's corrective, but that's okay. Because if the Holy Ghost is saying, say it, then it means it's more important than my sermon, because that's his sermon. Listen, the Holy Ghost is preaching to you tonight through an office, because he's the one saying, say that. And then when I'm trying to pull away to my, go back to that, I'm not done with that. See, he's preaching through me. So listen, because the God Almighty himself is trying to give you instruction. This is called preaching by the gift of prophecy, meaning spontaneous, inspired utterance, not just notes. Hallelujah. What's another problem? Fleeces is one, but open doors. Open doors is another one. Be careful about all this open doors stuff, because you'll get tripped up. We know, can God open doors? Yes. Can God give us opportunities to walk through? Yes. But he does not lead you with an open door. This is where people miss it. They see a door open and they think God opened it. And then they say, that's God's leading. No, no. God can open the door, but that doesn't. But he's not going to lead you because there's an open door. Do you know why? Otherwise, any open door you see, you're going to assume it's God. And let me tell you, the devil is very good at opening doors. So an open door in and of itself is not a leading. Just because it's open doesn't mean it's God. And by the way, just because it's closed doesn't mean it's not God. The leading is here. Now, God can open a door, but what's he going to do? He's going to show you it here. You don't just look at the door and go, oh, great. A door opens. Is that God? Is that not God? Let me check. Okay, that's God. I'm going through it. A door opens. Is that God? Is that not God? Let me check. It looks good. The money's better. Everything's better. I think I should take that job. They sought me out. I mean, I must be a pretty darn good person. I must be hot. I must be an amazing, smart worker, because the recruiter found me. And they're offering me $20,000 more per year. And it's closer, and I get to work from home. Wow, God's opened a door. You're stupid. He may have opened the door, but the guy with the horns could have also opened the door. What do you do? Okay, I'll get back to you. Well, you're going to know by noon today. Well, then I'm not taking it. Answer's no. See, the devil will work to pressure you. I'll do this. I'll go, wait. Father, I put these two things before you. If you're opening that door, thank you. It looks great, but I got to know it in here. Yes. And then a day passes and another day passes and you don't really know. You know what this is worse with is people wanting to date and get married. Yes. This is even worse than jobs. Yes. Because they've got stuff coursing through their bloodstream. Yes. Okay? They've got stuff. I won't tell you what it is, but it's stuff. Okay, it's testosterone, and it's estrogen, and it's many things. What? Passion. It's passion. Yeah, whatever. It's something. And it's ungodly, whatever it is. And I say, you need to just wait, and you need to pray. But while they're waiting, they're sitting before the Lord. And they've got their Bible. And they're looking very spiritual. Oh, Lord. But they're not really waiting, because all they're imagining is their wedding night. That's the man. And the woman is imagining the ceremony and how beautiful she looks. And if she's going to pick that pie or that cake or that hors d'oeuvre, you're not waiting on the Lord just because you got your eyes closed. What are you doing when you're waiting, quote unquote, on the Lord? Are you shutting your mind down? Are you removing your ambition and affection for that person? And for that job? And for that house? And for that car? And for this, whatever it is, are you removing it from you? Because if you've already set your mind, don't wait on the Lord. Just do make the decision and live with the consequences. But if you're going to wait on the Lord, don't have this stuff going on. I silence my thoughts. Father, this is my time with you. This is not me imagining, wishing, praying. No, I wait on you. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And at times you'll be quiet, and at times you'll pray, and at times you'll worship, and at times you'll read. But I am waiting on you. And Lord, you'll know if you'll be quiet, and you'll know if you're supposed to read, and you'll know if you're supposed to pray in the Spirit, and you'll know if you're supposed to pray in English, and you'll know if you're supposed to, well, you'll know. Just flow with that. But you wait. You'll know many times it's silence. You'll know. Just follow that leading and wait and stop thinking about your lists and all the excitement that you think you're about to have.
Yes, sir.
Some of you already spent the $20,000 from the new job and you don't even know if it's God's will. Well, we're going to buy that couch and we're going to put that over there and going to buy that thing and over there. And oh, yes, but of course, I'm waiting on the Lord. Just hold on, Lord. Sail at the brick. This is good to do. Lord, I'm waiting on you. Honey, make sure you cut that coupon and don't lose it. But I'm waiting on the Lord. You are a lying thief. You ain't waiting on nothing. You're imagining you're spending the money from the new job and you don't even know if God opened the door. Wait silently, wait quietly, wait verbally, but quiet this thing. And say, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. I'm not led by money. I'm not led by hormones. I'm not led by how pretty she is. I'm not led by how rich he is. I'm not led by this. I'm not led by anything but by the Holy Ghost. And Father, I'm really going to wait on you until I know. And I don't care if it takes me 6 months. Let that fool wait. Because he's got the moves and he's, honey, I love you, honey. Let's do it. Come on now. The Lord is with us. And he's quoting Randy Greer. And he's quoting Brother Hagin. We need to do this, honey. Come on. And he's acting like Elvis. And you're just like, oh. What you need to do is say, shut up, fool, and don't call me until I call you. Because I'm actually waiting on the Lord to see if you are the right person for me. You know how many people have made mistakes marrying in this church? Even though I've told them not to? But Pastor, oh, but you don't know how nice he is. And then now they're in hell. Not in hell of a marriage. Do you understand? They're going to heaven, but many of them want to kill the guy, go and then just be transported. Murder him, get the gas chamber, but we don't have it in Canada, so you're going to rot for the rest of your life in jail. But you just want to go on to heaven without that guy. But have you just waited? You got to wait. Jenny, don't give me that look. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. I'm trying my best tonight. I'm trying. I really am trying. So God can open the door, but that doesn't mean he is opening the door. Don't use the open door. Don't use the opportunity. Don't use the greatness of wow, look at this presentation. Don't do that as though that's the plan. As though that's the leading. The leading is not out there. The leading is in here. The leading doesn't come 12 dozen roses. That's not a leading. It doesn't, ladies. It comes on the inside. Chantel's going, darn it. It comes on the inside. Do you understand? Do you understand? Dad Hagin would say the devil, I'm quoting, the devil can open doors too because that's in the natural realm and that's on his territory. So people say, God, if you open the door, I'll do it. Bad prayer. Bad prayer. Bad prayer. You know how you say bad dog? Bad prayer. If you open the door, I'll do it. The devil heard you say that. And he's now going to be working 24 hours a day with extra demons that were resting. Now they have to get back to work. And they're going to be working to open that door for you because you said, "If God, if you open the door, I'll do it." Yeah. No, you never pray that. And most Christians have prayed that. What you should pray is, "Lord, if you reveal it to my spirit, I'll do it." Yeah. I don't care if the door opens. Yeah. Or if it's shut. It don't matter if it's shut. God will open it. It don't matter if it's open. God will shut it. I got to know here. I don't need to worry about it. So you never say, if you open the door, I'll do it.
It's true. It's so true. It's so true.
I know you're leading me if you open the door. No. Bad prayer. Bad prayer. Or another one. I've heard people pray this in our prayer meetings. Lead us by the open door. No. You don't lead us by the open door. You lead us by the inner witness.
Yeah.
Beyond the open door, there's a new and fresh anointing. Oh, can you hear it calling me to go? Lord, I'm going through the open door. Just open it. You see how we can sing songs and get, now that's a good song. But you got to remember that the open door is not the leading, even though we're crying while we sing, oh, Lord, beyond the open door. Just keep your doctrine right in the song. He does open doors. I'll give you scriptures next week. But he does open doors. That's a biblical principle. But he doesn't lead you through the open door. He leads you through the inner witness. And then you can sing the song, I'm going through the open door because I'm being led. Not, please God, open to me a door and I'll go through it. I promise you, Lord, I'll go through it. Lord, I'll go through that door if you open it. You see, what you're doing is a fleece.
Yeah.
If you do this, it means it's your will. If the fleece is dry, it means it's your will. If the guy gives 100% vote, it's your will. If the guy knocks off 12% off the car, it's your will. No, that is not the open door. This is the open door. When you know it here, go through it. Whether there's 12% knocked off or not. Well, hallelujah. We're going to sing Beyond the Open Door. Not tonight, but the next time you sing it, don't laugh. I mean, sing it and cry all the way through it if you won't. Just do it if you won't. Cry if you won't. But don't make the open door your leading. Let this be your leading. And then when you see the open door and you got this, you cry all the way through it. Ah, yeah, it's the open door. But you got to have it here. How are you going to get it? Waiting. Praying. Slowing down. Not praying, thinking of your list. Praying quiet. Praying purely. Lord, I don't have an opinion. I need you to show me. You may show me dramatically, but I've got to get it in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm telling you, we're all learning. I'm learning. We're all learning. We're all learning. Pastor Nancy, who is a master at this, still thought her house was going to sell. Thought that was the leading.
Yeah.
2 years. Didn't sell. Finally, God got over to her. That wasn't my leading. You're keeping that house and you're doing this. She's told me things. That's not merely missing it. That's just learning how to be so sensitive to that leading. And everybody makes mistakes. So you're in good company if you've made mistakes, because welcome to the Christian church. But it's okay, because as long as you're making a decision, I don't want to keep making them. I want to get more skill. I want to know. And thank God you've got a church and a pastor that's teaching you, don't go with dreams, don't go with open doors, don't go with fleeces, don't go with God. If you do this, then you're leading me. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. You will make mistakes. You will get out of the perfect smooth will and into the gravel road permissive will, and things will be hard for you. And I don't want things hard for you. I want things easy for you. I want you to be happy. Praise God. God wants you to be happy more than I want you to be happy, because he said in Ephesians 3, I've got a good life that I've prearranged and ordered for you to live. Just get in that flow. How? Pray and wait. Father, be blessed. Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. It wasn't exactly the way I anticipated tonight, but the Holy Ghost got to helping us. And so, Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that this congregation and me and those watching, and I believe I speak for all of us, even though not all of them are here, we set our hearts, we set our minds, we set our wills that we are going to be vicious and ruthless with the chopping block. We are going to put everything on that block and wait on you. And if you say get rid of it, it's gone. And if you say now add this new thing, we add it. And we want the perfect will, and we want the leading, and we want to know in here, not just what looks good out there. And we're willing to humble ourselves and even be embarrassed if we have to. Even if people don't like us, even if people say, well, how could you have made that decision? Lord, I really don't care what they say. What I need is to make sure that as a church, we are in the perfect will of God. And I've also learned it don't come in one day, 2 days, or even 1 or 2 weeks. It takes seasons and often extended seasons of waiting on God. And Lord, we have started. I have started it. My wife has started it in January. More than ever, any time in our life before. Lord, as soon as we stepped into this year, you told me there'd be fresh anointings. And Lord, that anointing to pray has just come. That desire to wait on you has just come. It's not that I didn't have it, but I didn't have it the way I have it now. It's like I have stepped into a new room. There is other things in this room that wasn't in the previous season. And I can feel them. And they're constraining me to go before the Lord and to make sure that we're right in every area. And I'm grateful for that. And this congregation should be grateful for that. And Lord, they should do it themselves. So that they're not hindered in the plan of God for their life. And that they're not hindered in the plan of God for this church. Because if they're in the permissive will, they're not going to be able to bring their supply to me the same way. They're not going to be able to bring their strength to me. They're not going to be able to bring their faith to me. Lord, their supply for this church, it requires them to be in the perfect will if it's going to move at the right acceleration that you desire. Lord, they can slow me down. This people can slow me down by getting out of the will of God in their own lives. Because if many of them are out of the perfect will of God, it's going to hinder even if the church technically is in the perfect will. We need their supply. And we got to run. And if all of them are limping, how are they going to run? So Lord, it is incumbent upon all of us for the sake of the vision to make sure we're right. In Jesus' name. Now the Lord is speaking to a husband right now. I'm saying this by the Spirit. The Lord is speaking to a husband right now, and he is saying to you that you need to repent to your wife for the way you've treated her. That you've ignored her, and at times you've tried to control her, and you've withstood her. That's the word. You've withstood her. You better make that right, sir. You better humble yourself and not be a macho, think you're the boss kind of person. Yes, God made you the head of the house, but he also made you a co-laborer with your wife. And you are joint heirs, Ephesians says, in the kingdom of God. You better make that right, because the Bible says your prayers will be hindered. Now, I'm saying that by the Spirit because I heard the Holy Ghost say it. I don't know who he's talking about. I don't know. He's not showing me. I don't need to know. Sir, if you've withstood her, and I'm not talking about if she's trying to do wrong things. I'm talking about she's trying to help lead this family. And you have been a withstanding force, a controlling force, a dominating force. You better repent. Because if you don't, you're going to open the door to sickness. And I'm saying that by the Holy Ghost. Not only will your prayers be hindered, like the Bible says, but if you don't discern the Lord's body, and your wife is the closest body that you have in the body of Christ to you, you better discern. You better discern her right. If you don't, the God's given you a long season of mercy, sir, and you have not obeyed him. You have tried, but you have not succeeded, not by his standard. And there is much work to be done in this area of the marriage, and you better do it. Because if you don't, you're going to have trouble this year in your health. Now, I'm saying that by the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that out of my mind. So husbands, you better start taking account for how you treat that woman. Well, she's not right about this. She's not right about that. Then pray for her. But you make sure you treat her right. Don't you worry about the speck in her eye. Look at the log in your own. And if she'll do the same and forget about the log in yours, but look at the log in her own, this thing will turn out to be a real sweet union. Because it takes humility to make a marriage work. It doesn't take being bossy and angry and judging and complaining and always blame. No, it takes humility and gentleness to make a sweet marriage. I know whereof I speak, because I have a sweet marriage, sweeter than it's ever been in our whole life, and it takes humility. Gentlemen, it takes humility. So humble yourselves and stop being so macho. I thank you, Holy Ghost. You're rescuing people. You don't want them to get sick. The healing line won't work for them in this situation. Their faith won't work for them in this situation. Only treating that person right is going to open that door for the things to work right. So I thank you, Father, that these husbands, however many husbands are watching and present, They don't just dismiss themselves from this now and think, oh, I'm great. Let them honestly assess themselves right now and when they get home. And Lord, if you're speaking to them, if this is for them, they'll know it. Some, it applies to you more than others, but it applies to more than one in here. But some, it applies a lot, and others, it applies minimally. But you better check. You better make sure. You know, God loves that. God loves you, but he loves your wife as well. And he don't want her being mistreated. He doesn't want her being withstood. Hallelujah. Well, that's why you come to church. It's for the Holy Ghost to fix things. It's for the Holy Ghost to correct things. It's for the Holy Ghost to rescue people. I'm tired of seeing people die prematurely. I'm tired of seeing businesses fail. I'm tired of seeing marriages fail. We got to get this right. We got to humble ourselves and get this right. And we're doing it, Father. We're doing it. We're not perfect, but we're trying, Lord. We are trying, Father. I am trying. Jenny is trying. This congregation, I say on their behalf, we are trying, Lord. Be patient with us and be merciful to us as we work through our issues. Because we're going to find that perfect will. We're going to find that light and easy flow. Like doctor said, it's not the dry riverbed. We're going to find that flow where the boat is in the current of the Holy Ghost River. And we're not striving to try to row like they were in the dry riverbank and thinking the thing is the glory when it's not the glory. Lord, we're going to be flowing in that beautiful flow of the Holy Ghost, and it's all going to come to pass. But we are laboring to enter into that rest. We are laboring to enter into that will. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.